in these factories, shoe factories and things like that, I have a sister-in-law who's a has a foreman's job at Rubens Brothers in Waycross. She and her husband started working there years ago, and he was killed in an elevator accident in that factory, and so she's been there ever since. It's given a lifetime job, don't you know? And she is a foreman and draws more pay than most of them, besides, of course, she owns stock in the business. But anyhow, I understand that when they just buy these hides in there, the entire hides, they've been tanned, but the whole hide. And now they have machines that splits this into layers. And your highest priced shoe is made of that top layer. And of course, suede and so on is made out of your bottom layer. In other words, the part of the leather that takes the high polish is the outer layer of the hide.
That would be the one that had the hair on it?
Right. Uh-huh. And the other part, you see, would be of course, you could take another layer and sand it down to where it too has a smooth surface, but it wouldn't hold the fine polish that your top layer would. The most expensive leather would be gloves or something like that, to be that top layer. And cheaper, the further down you go towards the flesh side, the cheaper the leather becomes.
Was the cattle, was that the only kind of leather they used, or did they use other animals?
Well, of course they could use, for example, goat hides were commonly used to bottom chairs. You see, the seat of the chair is just a frame. Here's four posts. And these rungs are pegged, holes of boards and rungs are pegged in it. Well, up here at the top, instead of having a board like that, they take something like a goat hide or a part of a cow hide, wet it, so that it'll become very soft and flexible. Put it over there and the outer edge is cut into strips so you can tie it underneath. And then when it dries, it stretches tight and it's a chair bottom that was almost indestructible. The chair, when it was first bought, might have had a cane bottom, but it soon wore out. Replace it with a goat hide and you can't wear the thing out. Besides, now the hair is still on this, since it's rawhide, it hasn't been tanned. And of course, the hair makes a sort of a cushioning effect, you see.
Isn't that interesting? I wonder why we don't use those anymore. They sound good.
Well, this bicentennial may revive that kind of thing. I imagine that there's probably have been some of that kind of craft done as a result of the bicentennial. Now, I haven't seen any myself. But I imagine that in places it has been done.
Was there a name for a man who did that? Like you had your barrel maker was a cooper?
Well, I don't know what a chair maker might have been called. If you had a special name, I'm not familiar with it. Of course, you know the man who worked for these hides is a tanner. Mm-hmm. And as you know, many, many of our common names are taken from vocations. The name Tanner was a man whose ancestor at some point worked with leather, and Miller, perhaps his ancestor at some time operated one of these grits mills or something he was talking about, and right on you could, there's the cooper and there's weaver, smith, people who worked with metals and so on, even goldsmith. You see, and so on like that.
Did Blackshire have its own blacksmith?
Every community had a blacksmith. In fact, many of these farmers did were their own smith. My wife's father operated a blacksmith. His farm operated.